River Anthology by Edgar Lee Masters opens with a poetic sequence titled The Hill. Where are Elmer, Herman, Bert, Tom, and Charlie? The weak of will, the strong of arm, the clown, the boozer, the fighter. All are sleeping on the hill. One passed in a fever, one was burned in a mine, one was killed in a brawl, one died in a jail. One fell from a bridge toiling for children and wife. All are sleeping, sleeping, sleeping on the hill. Where are Ella, Kate, Mag, Lizzie, and Edith? The tender heart, the simple soul, the loud, the proud, the happy one. All are sleeping on the hill. In the groundbreaking work, Spoon River Anthology, Edgar Lee Masters, a one-time law partner of Clarence Darrow, gives voice to more than 200 deceased citizens of Spoon River who are laid to rest in Oak Hill Cemetery, known to the locals as The Hill. Freed from the shackles of life, the unliving who sleep beneath these weeds confess their deepest secrets, disappointments, frustrations, joys, and warnings to the living, in the form of brutally honest free verse poems. And each postmortem poem in the collection is titled with the name of the citizen who reveals some truth about their daily existence in Spoon River. Masters gleaned tidbits of stories and gossip he heard during the time he spent in Lewiston and nearby Petersburg, Illinois, where his grandparents lived. In some cases, Masters barely changed their names. Henry Phipps was really banker Henry Phelps. Harry Wilmans was Henry Wilmans. In a few instances, he used real names, such as William H. Herndon, the law partner of Abraham Lincoln, and Anne Rutledge, considered Lincoln's first love. Edgar Lee Masters died in 1950, and he is buried at Oakland Cemetery in Petersburg. And the work itself continues to stay relevant for its treatment of the human condition. Words of Laura Wolf Scanlon in an essay titled Poetic Justice in Humanities, November 2015. Hearing Lizzie's story from Lizzie herself gives her joys, her frustrations, their staying power. Meeting Elmer and Bert face to face, we won't easily forget what we learn about them and their town as they tell it in the poems. And that's just as true of Lona Day, of the Scranton Police Force, and the squabbling Zimmers, Mr. and Mrs., citizens of our region, who are now sleeping. Sleeping not in Spoon River, but in the Dunmore Cemetery, and whom we've met in years past as the dearly departed players lead us through the lanes and the lives of those who've been laid to rest there. Julie Esty is passionate about the history of northeastern Pennsylvania and the people here, and she has found a way to share that history through the research she's been doing into people's lives for at least 20 years. Word has spread about the annual Dunmore Cemetery tours, and hundreds gather each October for moving encounters with people from the past. Julie Esty is founder and artistic director of the Dearly Departed Players and the Tours, and Carl Barbie, longtime member of the Dearly Departed Players, and they stopped in to invite us to join them this Sunday afternoon and to tell us more about the tours.
The concept this year is guest appearances. We were the recipient of a Lackawanna County Arts and Culture grant this year. And because of that, I decided that it would be best to throw open the cemetery gates. And we are presenting people from the past who are buried in other cemeteries throughout the Lackawanna Valley. So that's the theme, that's the concept that this year. It's about time that we're able to work with people elsewhere. We get a lot of requests to be in other cemeteries, and that's not that easy when you've got a crowd the size that we have. You know, so this is how we bring those people to our audience at the same venue.
We have a wonderful stage, and it's nice that now we can open it up to the entire Lackawanna Valley and let some of them play on the stage that we have developed.
On a typical autumn tour, what happens? What can people expect just in general before we get into the specifics this year?
Let me speak, because I say this each year, and this is the thing that draws me to Julie's tours. I have a degree in archaeology, so I'm very historically oriented, but I'm also in theater and have my entire career as, yes, I know it's a strange jump, but that's what happened. She combines those two things brilliantly. Brilliantly. She does not have us stand there, whether dressed in period clothing or not, but we are, and accurate. She's very careful with details about that sort of thing. She doesn't just have us tell the story. We speak as if we are these people, and she gets information from diverse sources in order to tell snippets of real life from these characters. So I don't talk about the fact that I did this and I did that and I did the other. I talk about my fears, my loves, my interests, all of my endeavors. I talk about it through little bitty blips of information that make me real to the people that are listening and watching.
How did you begin to discover people you wanted to bring on board this year then?
I have been working with dead folks for 20 years. In the course of looking at the people who passed on in the Dunmore Cemetery, you know, it's inevitable that you are going to come on people who went elsewhere. So over all these years, I've been saving their information and looking at them further, or sometimes it might just be a piece of paper that goes in a folder in an envelope marked whatever. So I have file cabinets filled with all of these people from all over the place. They've got a story to tell. We can still use them, learn from them, do something wonderful with them. Really, one of the cemetery superintendents said it, for me, it was all like a giant egg hunt. You know, I've got a basket and I am out there and I am gathering eggs. Some eggs are just regular eggs. Some eggs have these really great things inside of them. And, you know, I've been collecting eggs and it's time to use them. And I just happened to expand my horizons over 20 years into different cemeteries.
I will say that Julie's, having been involved initially with the Dunmore Cemetery because it's local to her, she knew it as a child, she did grow up with it. So not just 20 years, I would believe that you spent a lot more time picking these up. But you actually started recording the information maybe 20 years ago and went forward from there. But if you look at the Dunmore Cemetery and the position that Dunmore and that region played in the history of this area, it actually was the anchor point for connections to so many other places because of the railroads and the mines that extended up to Carbondale and Waymart and over to Honesdale in every other direction. Because then it went to Mount Cobb with Pennsylvania coal, and then went it down the line to Coxton. So it was a great place to start. You can't just do Dunmore Cemetery without touching very, very hard on many other communities and the region as a whole.
Well, introduce us to some of those folks who are going to join you this year.
When I started doing tours 20 years ago, I was very disappointed that I couldn't put a young man on named Max Hess, because Max wasn't buried in Dunmore. So I have been looking for a point to put Max on, and I finally have it. I have a wonderful young gentleman, James Pennington, who comes to us from the University of Scranton. He is portraying Max, and Max, when he was a young boy, he didn't behave all the time. And he hopped a train and ended up losing an arm, because hopping trains was dangerous business. Max goes on to reformatory. He just doesn't live a stellar teenage span there and gets himself in a lot of trouble. But when he gets out of the reformatory, he meets a man who hooks him up with the postal service and delivering packages. And Max ends up being extremely fast at this. And from the athletic ability he's gaining from scurrying around town all the time, now he ends up in endurance skating, walking, bicycle riding. He ends up in endurance competitions in Madison Square Garden. Now imagine him roller skating and he's got one arm. So there's a problem now, like he's got that balance thing going around the turns and stuff. I'm very happy that we have Max. We have Judge Handley, who was here, had an awful lot of money, and he doesn't leave it to Scranton. He leaves it to Winchester, Virginia. Judge Handley was also a Confederate sympathizer. So some of the things Judge Handley has to say
it's a very interesting
are
character.
Very timely with what we have going on now. I don't know, who do you like on the tour this year?
I like my character.
Oh, okay.
And he brings in other people who have the same problem. We talk about inordinate fears. First of all, we talk about the fear of death, thanatophobia. And I guess everybody has to some point that, and everybody's not perfectly serene with everything ending or whatever. But a step further is the fear of being, and this was more common than thought about today, being buried alive. An inordinate fear of being buried alive, and all kinds of contrivances were built. You hear the saying, saved by the bell, and bells were attached to the finger of corpses, and the bells were left above ground so that if they were alive and have been buried alive, they could move their finger and ring the bell, and people would know that you were still there. Exactly. So in his will, he makes some really extravagant requests. Mm-hmm. Anything to keep from, as he says, waking up and having to claw himself out of his coffin.
When you see it in someone's will, it's very staggering. It's one thing to have the fear or to know that someone has the fear, but when you see the lengths that someone has gone to and the instructions that they leave in their will, it's like, how do you leave this man out? Like, you have to address him. Another person that I like is the woman. We have a woman who was from Southside, and she came over here from France. She married an American GI.
Yes.
And he goes to work one day. You know, they're living back in Southside. He goes to work one day, and when he comes home, his wife and their children are all coal gassed. Because of that, my mother always made us leave a window open in our house. I, to this day, because of this woman, and she died in 1949, in the winter, I will not sleep without a window open. In Southside, it was a horrific tragedy, but when you think about it, was it really? I mean, this woman had a wonderful life. You know, she had these beautiful children, and yes, it was cut short, and that's what she talks about. You know, we're all here for a reason, even though it's a short while. And if I had to do it all again, and I knew, would I do it again? She says, yes, she would.
And she loved this region, too. I mean, I can imagine to leave.
Where she was in France.
In France. She was in the Normandy sort of area. So she was right in the hub of some of the worst destruction in that particular country. So when she came here, she fell in love with the beauty of the area. So she was very, very happy for the time that she was here.
And then we have Jim George. Jim George is doing something very special this year. We're very pleased to have him on. George is buried a little further down the line, but he was a Scranton firefighter. He is gone now over 100 years. Jim was injured in the line of duty many times. His last injury was he falls down the pole hole that the firemen go down.
The classic.
And
pole.
He's off for a while, and then when he comes back, he gets put on inspecting fire hydrants. Then he retires. And he goes over to the Center Street Police Station with a dear friend in the cemetery, Lona Day, who we spotlighted many years ago.
Oh, yeah, he's been around a while.
And Jim George volunteers to take care of the Center Street Station, which gets a lot of transients, a lot of hobos, vagrants, whatever you want to call them back then. And Jim takes care of these men. He becomes their friend. He befriends them. He gives them money. He helps them. Sometimes these guys are taking advantage of them, but a lot of times they were sending his money back when they found better days. Or they would send him gifts. Now, Jim goes on in the last 3 years of his life and out of his own money, because he's a single man on retirement, he starts having Thanksgiving and Christmas dinner for these men. It starts out with 12 men and grows. And his only stipulation was that you guys have to clean it up and take a bath before you come. So he's supplying a meal. It's the precursor of what goes on here now. So because of Jim George, we have partnered with Feed a Friend. Admission to the tour is free, always will be. But this year we are asking the people that if they attend the tour to please bring a canned good in memory of this firefighter from the past so that we can pass on what he did to people today.
Continue the tradition.
Yep. There we are. Not letting a perfectly good person from the past go to waste. This man, it's 100 years, and he is still going to do something good.
Yeah, he gets another shot at it.
Yep.
You mentioned costumes, Carl. You do this in a very theatrical way.
Oh, yeah. This year we have greatly increased our sound capabilities.
Oh, yes.
A new sound system, and they should be able to hear us over at the football game now, because that's always an issue. Thanks to the Lackawanna County Arts and Culture Grant, we have been able to really significantly bump up our sound system.
Well, we have Coons back, the hearse.
Oh, Coons Classic Memory is coming back this year. They are not bringing the hearse, from what I understand. They're bringing a beer wagon. So it will be the horses and a beer wagon. And Lance from the Charles M. Newell Funeral Home out there that's connected with Coons Classic Memory, Lance is a conductor for the Appalachian Winds Symphony.
Oh, wow.
And he is also an award-winning bagpipe player. Weather permitting, Lance is going to be out there, and he's going to jump off of that wagon, and he is going to play the bagpipes for us for Jim George.
And that's going to sound phenomenal in that venue.
So all of us have our little niches, and we all blend it together, and it makes this amazing group that is the Dearly Departed Players.
And as years go by, people will retire, and new people will come on. They bring their specialties, and then our entire tour and our being changes. Mm-hmm. It morphs as we go along, and so it's always going to be different every year.
And it's getting bigger every year. Every year, it just gets bigger. It expands. People do need to arrive early so that they can see what's going on up the front. The Sons of Union Veterans GAR Memorial Association Museum will be there exhibiting some things with their information. Scranton Reads is going to be there, and the book they're doing this year, Gilead, that works very well with cemeteries, so they're going to be there. The Pittston Historical Society, the Friends of the Forgotten, and the folks from East Coast Paracon, they've got a big event coming up. And, you know, that's a whole other branching off in another direction. So there's stuff there in the beginning for people to see. So it's really a cultural event. It's not just a history event. It's not just a theater event.
It's a large fair.
Yes.
It literally is.
To some degree, it's showing that cemeteries can be community-friendly environments.
As they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that aspect has sort of faded over the past century or so, but she is certainly, and we helping, are making it happen again.
This is my 20th anniversary. I believe on October 8th it was 1997. That was my first tour in the cemetery, so it will be 20 years for me this year. And for the rest of the Dearly Departed Players, it will probably be 14 years. I think I'll be there 20 years after I'm gone. I'll always be at that cemetery gate.
We'll make sure you're on the tour.
Yeah, put me on the tour.
And you have had books that have come out of this, in fact.
Oh, yeah. There's Stories in Stone. Then there's Stories in Stone, Tales of Life from the Dunmore and Forest Hill Cemetery. And then there's the one that I absolutely love is Murder in Scranton, which addresses all murders. And I'm working on one now. It's just when you're always working on a new tour every year. You know, when I leave the cemetery in October, I'll sit down to work on a new book. And then December, January comes along and it's like, I got to get a new tour going.
We often have people who come up after the tours who are distant relatives or ancestors of people who were on the tour. And they tell us new aspects that we knew nothing about.
Yeah. We do have one woman on the tour this year, Mrs. C.D. Simpson, and she talks about how she participated in Tag Day, which was raising money for one of the local hospitals, and ladies would station themselves on corners, and you would give them money, and they would put a ribbon through your buttonhole, and that way nobody else would tag you. Of course, when I did this talk many years ago, it was about her and her relationship to the Dunmore Cemetery. And at that point, her descendants, they did not know this amazing story about their great-great-grandmother. This year, she is again on the tour, but she talks about the day that she was collecting the money, Tag Day, a man walked across the street, and he was blind. He was a blind newspaper man. And he had saved 350 very special pennies in a talcum powder can, and he gave them to her. We learn more about this man on this tour. What I'm saying is here we had this family that did not know this incident about their great-great-grandmother. Now it'll be interesting to see if anybody comes forward about Bill.
All of these people were building stones in this community. All of them had something to offer. And it's really interesting to me, and always has been, and I guess will continue to be, how you make them live people to the live people with whom we are speaking when we do the tour. The faces on people watching the tour, it's a look of recognition, because what you are telling them is not statistics. It's real life things that they identify with themselves. And not only are there themes that are brought together in little glimpses of the same sort of appearance from person to person as the tour continues, but there's also underlying symbolism. The layout of the tour itself has something to say. And I'm not going to go further because I want to see if people figure these things out, because I think they're wonderful that they are stuffed into the baklava layers of this tour. I think they're absolutely marvelous.
Yeah, there's something
marvelous.
Very interesting about the route that I don't know if people will get.
Yeah, but I challenge them to take a look and think about it.
They need to be mindful of the route that they are walking.
And see if they find themes and if they can identify entities that she has hinted at. But I think the hints are pretty broad. We all get a good laugh at it when we suddenly realize what she has said in some of these talks. Yeah. And then we go like, Jolie.
There are some nice little nods to some people who have helped shape not just the person that I am today, but the artist that I am today.
I think all of us.
Yes,
all of us. Because yes. I recognize all of what you've put in there.
Yes.
And was struck and affected by it in the same way you were when you were younger.
All of us. By no means is this event ever a lecture, because it's not.
Stuffy, it is not.
No. We are going to teach history. We are going to mix it with the arts. And you are going to have a good time. And there are things that are hidden. So it's not just this history thing. It is also artistic. And it works beautifully in teaching the public about what was going on here in the Lackawanna Valley.
It reminds me of how it would be if instead of you were standing in the cemetery listening to an actor describe this person via the manner that she does it, it would be like sitting in a room with your great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather if he were still alive and having him tell you these stories. Because he'll tell you things that were never written, and that's what you're going to hear.
And you can't just continue, nothing against them, okay? These famous names. It's the little guy and the regular lady that have wonderful stories. They are threads in the fabric of this valley. And their stories need to be told. And their stories sometimes are better than the stories of those that were rich and famous. And sometimes their stories, when you look at it, it's just like, did you make that up or is that real? Because sometimes reality can be a very wild thing.
Julie Esty, founding artistic director of the Dearly Departed Players and the tour, and Carl Barbie, longtime member of the Dearly Departed Players, speaking with us about the Dunmore Cemetery Tour 2017, the theme Guest Appearances. And it's this Sunday, October 8th, at 2 in the afternoon at the Dunmore Cemetery, Warren and Church Streets. Admission is free, but this year they ask that you take along a non-perishable food item to benefit Feed a Friend in memory of firefighter Jim George. They suggest that you arrive early. There are a number of exhibits at the front of the cemetery, and they encourage you to take time, schedule time, build in time, so that you can experience what's there. For more information, on Facebook, Dunmore Cemetery Tour, Dunmore Cemetery Tour. It's this Sunday, October 8th, at 2 in the afternoon at the Dunmore Cemetery, Warren and Church Streets in Dunmore. Admission is free, but again, that they ask that you take along a non-perishable food item to benefit Feed a Friend. For more information, on Facebook, Dunmore Cemetery Tour.